Hello and welcome back to the Pilot Network Podcast. I'm Matt, co-host of the show. And as always with the TPM Podcast, we try to bring you some pretty awesome guests, and today is no different. As TPN approaches its 50th podcast episode, Adam and I are constantly trying to experiment with different ways to really find new and interesting content and interviews that really enhance your journey as a pilot. And like I said, today is no different. Whether or not flying is for the pure love of the sport or it's your job, TPN's here to be with you along that path. And so today we're very honored to have Warren Curry from Icon Aircraft here. And we've been very fortunate to sit and talk with him. Icon is the maker of the Icon A5, which is a really exciting new amphibious light sport aircraft. And what they're selling is recreation, fun, and lifestyle. And for me, loving the water, loving aviation, and loving outdoors type activities, the Icon A5 really lives up to all three of those goals. So like I said, I'm honored to have Warren Curry. Warren, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Matt. It's great to be here. Appreciate the invite. It's great to reconnect with you again.
Absolutely. So I think it's probably been a couple of years since we last talked. I was at the training center here in Tampa to where I got to be Janessa Duffy's first student as we were kind of getting me the initial training, the initial transition course from my seaplane rating to get checked out in the Icon to be part of the Runners program. So that was a lot of fun. And I think at that time you were the chief pilot at the facility. Is that right?
I was. My actual title was director of the Tampa Icon Flight Center. So I managed flight instructors out there. I also managed our service center at the hangar there in Pedro 9.
To back up a little bit, do you mind telling the audience a little bit more about your professional background, where you came from, and what path led you to Icon?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So relatively quickly, I spent over 22 years in the Marine Corps and primarily as a pilot. Flew, you know, a variety of aircraft, but really spent most of my time in two specific aircraft. I started off in the AH-1 Whiskey, which is the Marine Corps TAC helicopter. And then about midway through my career, I took a leap of faith, a jump into the MV-22 Osprey. And that was right when the test pilots were finishing up and they had to bring people like myself in and said, okay, figure out how to use this thing and take it over to Iraq and, you know, just go on that path. And I was fortunate to be a commanding officer out in Myanmar, had a great career, and was again fortunate enough to finish my last 4 or 5 years inside of Special Operations based out of Tampa, which is where I tied in to Icon as they established Tampa as really being the flagship on the East Coast for the company.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, one of the things that I remember from my training the week that I was out there training with Janessa is that the military feel or the squadron aspect of being in the training center and the way that the training was done and your training folder and the process, everything felt like it had a lot of roots in military aviation. Is that intentional or was that just kind of a byproduct of something else?
Yeah, well, probably like everything, a little bit of both. So our founder, the Kirk Hawkins, who founded the company, as you know, he was an Air Force fighter pilot. And he built the company, and you know, we've been doing this for 10 to 12 years from his initial concept. You know, I think there was an initial specific look and search for especially military pilots to develop the curriculum that you went through and the training program. And it attracted me as well when I first got in there. And I looked at the books. I'm like, man, it's like I'm back in flight school with very specific learned objectives. Here's what you can read the night before. Here's what we're going to demonstrate. Here's what we're going to introduce. And here's where you're going to start doing proficiency work during the syllabus. And I found, as we bring people in from general aviation, they really like it because, you know, in the military, we've been doing this for a while and we certainly don't keep it as maybe stressful as you and I went through flight school in the military. We don't do that.
There was no stress whatsoever during that week. It was pure fun. It was a blast, actually. I had a great time.
It is. It is fun. It's not scripted. It's very scoped, but we talk about in the first brief, if you remember, hey, we're here to have fun and you should be having fun. And then secondly, you talk about all the veterans. I truly believe, at least for me, and I can speak for the others, you know, when you're a veteran, when you spend time in the military, most of us do it because it's mission driven, you know, and we enjoy the teamwork, striving to do something that is challenging, but serves a purpose. And I think ICON, in a lot of ways, does that in a civilian aviation world of what we're trying to build and what we're trying to do. And it just attracts those people who want that type of challenge and teamwork. We have a blast. We work really hard. We're critical on each other, but we have fun while doing it. And I know that's what attracted me, and I think others.
I kind of alluded to it, and we've talked about it in the past, how ICON is selling adventure, not just airplanes. And then you mentioned kind of the mission-driven aspect of what you guys are doing over there and the company as a whole. Can you go into a little bit more detail on the adventure ethos that is really at the core of the company and what that mission looks like in general?
Yeah, you know, all of us and your listeners, certainly, we all have varied backgrounds, but I truly believe that all of us got into aviation because at some point we looked up in the sky and we thought, man, like that would be really cool to do. That's fun. Like that's something I want to do in my life. And then all of us jumped into our first aircraft and we always remember our first takeoff and that feeling that you really don't get anywhere else. That true visceral in touch with doing something as complex yet as enjoyable as flying. And as we graduated through our careers, at least I'll speak for myself, not your listeners, I graduated in more and more complicated aircraft, and it was a blast. I loved every aircraft I flew, but some of the true passion of aviation left me. And when I had the opportunity, and I was still in active duty, and I had a friend I served with that was flying with ICON, said, come fly this aircraft. And I thought, man, I don't know if a light sport aircraft is really what I want to do. And I got in it and I showed up the aircraft the first day and the wings were folded. And I said, so we're going to unfold the wings and take off. Right. But we did. And within the first 20, 30 minutes, I looked and said, this is the most fun I've had. And I can't remember flying, you know, it certainly landed on the water, jet skiing around, going to beaches, going up and down boat ramps. That was fun. But just the simplicity, but the in touch with the environment, the windows were out, you know, the panoramic views you get from the aircraft. And I said, man, I haven't felt this in so long. And it really sparked my interest to stay in aviation and do something like this. And what we try to do is bring that to everyone who flies in the aircraft. You know, some people purchase the aircraft, some people don't, and that's fine. But I've never had anyone get out of the aircraft and not tell me in probably different terms, but I'll keep it PC. Right. That was awesome. That was fantastic.
Yeah, I know I was grinning ear to ear as soon as I got out, because one of the first things we did on that orientation day is we went down and essentially did a landing attitude demo just a couple of feet over the water. And I remember that being something so different than anything I've ever done before. So the gear was retracted and obviously it's amphibious. So, you know, you're essentially getting the landing attitude, but you're over the water with bigger runway than you've ever used in your life. I mean, there is no runway. It's just water as far as you can see, and the sense of motion, but the control and precision of the aircraft controls were not shocking, but I was pleasantly surprised, because we're accustomed to smaller airplanes being, you know, not as tight controls or just the fit and finish is a little bit old or something like that. But it just struck me how maneuverable and precise the aircraft was, even in that environment. It was just so fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And I always brag on how, and you described it perfectly, the handling, the stability, yet the maneuverability of the aircraft. I can brag because I had nothing to do with it whatsoever. Mm-hmm. And lastly, you talk about that flight right over the water. I think all of us have sat on a beach, and you know, any of us who are in aviation, you watch the birds, you know, fly over the water, and you're just amazed by how well they can control themselves and, you know, not dip a wing or anything like that. Now, certainly we don't fly like that. Birds are still better than we are, but it is kind of similar to what you watch when you're sitting at the beach and watching birds just skim over the ocean water.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just, there's something elegant about it. And the A5 really encapsulated kind of that feeling that I wasn't expecting until I actually got in it. So that was a lot of fun, not to gush too much about it. But I also mentioned that inside of it, honestly, it really felt like being in a high-end car, like a Tesla or something like that. Can you speak to a little bit about the manufacturing process and the design that went into it? You can tell there was a lot of thought put into it.
Yeah, purposeful, absolutely purposeful, the way we designed it. And I often go and take the aircraft to car shows, to boat shows, and the number one reaction I get is exactly what you just explained, and kudos to our design team. They look in and say, this looks like my car. Like, this looks like a high-end, you know, luxury car. And we absolutely designed it that way for two reasons. One is we wanted to attract people who have always wanted to fly but were intimidated, you know. I jokingly say, you know, myself, it's been around for a while in aviation. I even look in some cockpits and still get intimidated, and I've been doing it a little while. You know, and it's very intimidating for those who have always wanted to, but just thought, I don't want to learn that. Well, they look in our aircraft, and they say, you know what, I can't. And what's really great about the design, yeah, it's very simple, but it's intuitive, and it has everything, you know, that every other aircraft has, you know, in mainly general aviation. We just made it easy to interface with and more simplistic so people can enjoy the flying, get their heads out of the aircraft, stop looking at screens and actually enjoy what they're doing. So, you know, we also know that a lot of our clients want a lifestyle, and that lifestyle is an adventure, and it is doing things that they've always wanted to do. But you know, we might talk later about our demographic is typically 45 to 65-year-old folks who have reached a certain point in their career, and they want nice things too. And so, you know, we painstakingly put very detailed effort into every aircraft we manufacture. So when the owner gets in it for the first time, he's blown away like he would be if, you know, if I ever could buy my dream car of a 911, right? And get in it, want that smile and that overwhelming feeling of happiness and joy to come over him. And we do, we get it.
And that design process and the manufacturing, that takes time. You can't do it overnight. So I know there were a couple of delays early on in production, but how's production going now in the factory? Aside from the fact that we're in this pandemic time right now where everything's kind of shut down, but how many planes per month are you up to and those sort of statistics?
So the goal this year, when we're in 2020, obviously, the goal this year will be doing 6 per month. Now, we made a strategic decision at the end of last year to take some of our manufacturing capacity and shift it down to Mexico. We built a literally state-of-the-art carbon fiber facility down in Mexico, and it really is impressive. From the first layer of carbon fiber up until the molding, the heating, and it comes out of there looking like an aircraft. And so earlier this year, we were shifting all our resources down there, and we were about 2 or 3 per month. But once COVID-19 is complete and we can get back into full swing, we should be producing 6 per month. And looking to expand even in 2021 because we have the capacity. We're just trying to be thoughtful, methodical on how we scale our production, that we don't get too far ahead of ourselves and start seeing quality discrepancies and or supply chain issues that are affecting our customers and our bottom line.
Right. And that's critically important. You can see that in the final product for sure, which is really nice. With deliveries coming and once production ramps back up again, what kind of new owners are you looking for? Are you only looking for super experienced pilots, or is it the average sportsman who maybe hasn't explored aviation yet?
Yeah, great question. So right now we're at about 35% of our owners were non-pilots. So they came into aviation and purchased the Icon. And quite a, you know, honestly, to brag, a lot of them have told us the only reason I came into aviation is because I saw this aircraft and this is what I wanted to do with my life, you know, as far as their lifestyle and when they're not working. So that's 35%. The pilot community is, to be honest, as a man who directs our sales department, is an easier sale because there's a lot less explanation. There's a lot less obstacles. You know, once a pilot says, this is what I want, and they have the means to do it, it's pretty easy. But I really think that 35% needs to grow. If we want to look at ourselves in 2022, 2025, you know, the aviation community, albeit, you know, seems large at times, is relatively small. So we want to always grow our non-pilots and grow the Icon community. And we have people outside this demographic. We have owners as young as their early 30s, but typically it's that 45 to 65-year-old man or woman that has always wanted to do it, has always wanted this type of lifestyle, has always wanted to fly, and now they've spent enough time getting the means by which to do so.
That's fun. And it, like we keep saying, you're selling a lifestyle, not just an airplane. I mean, there really are all sorts of things you can do with this when you add in the fact that it's amphibious. So any runway, the $100 hamburger is available to you, but I'm sure there's all sorts of different types of adventures on the water as well.
Yeah, no doubt, Matt. You know, it's really, you know, even for myself, it took me a while to get out of that mentality of, I go from point A to point B. And listen, there's nothing wrong. Point A to point B, you know, aircraft, great aircraft out there that serve a ton of utility functions. I like all of them. But, you know, ours is really, tell me something you can't do with it, right? Outside of flying from here to LA in 3 hours. Okay, that's right. Fair enough, right? But outside of the range constraints, just because we're not a citation, it's what can't you do? You know, and we have owners that have flown all over. The last summer we had an owner fly all across the country from LA through the South, the Florida, the Bahamas, Key West, up through Maine, through Oshkosh for the air show, over to Seattle and back. And he chronicled the whole trip. And he was a recently retired, young 60s, and said, this place, I was going to take my Harley. And then I found this. And he's like, so I'm literally traveling the country from a perspective and viewpoint, that I can't get, you know, through my Harley. And I certainly don't have the ability to go into an island in the Bahamas, land off the coast, taxi up and beach it. He's like, this was the ideal product for the lifestyle that I wanted to do post-retirement.
Yeah, that's so fun. So in keeping with that, you probably talked to a lot of the new owners and the instructors and just the ability to take the airplane all over the place. So are there any vignettes or stories that stand out in your mind as just the coolest thing you've heard people doing with their A5?
Yeah, I thought, you know, the one owner across the country was super cool. But, you know, I think what makes me the happiest, because I know the majority of our owners by first name, and then, they, you know, they have my cell phone. I'm not going to use names, but a gentleman that lives in Florida, and he had gotten the aircraft, and about 2 months later, he called me and said, hey, where can I get my nearest maintenance inspection for my 100-hour? And I said, well, we have a little time to get your 100-hours. He's like, no, I'm on it. And I said, how are you on that? And what he was describing was that him and his wife, almost every weekend, they leave Florida. He's like, typically the Bahamas. He's like, but we'll bounce around the Bahamas all weekend long. We'll leave on a Friday, you know, Sunday afternoon, we'll fly back. I'll put the aircraft to bed. But he's like, giving me and my wife a shot of excitement and adventure that, you know, that we haven't had in years. And he literally flies it almost every weekend, doing things like that. Now, he said, I'll also bounce up and hit the South Carolina coast. You know, certainly you can take a month, 2 months out of your life and travel the country, but a lot of us don't have the opportunity to do that. But people who do things like that, or I love the owners that have it right in their backyard on a lake, and we have owners that have multiple kind of docking systems or boat ramps, and they literally pull it out of their little garage, unfold the wings, start up, drive down their boat ramp, they take off from their lake and go wherever they want. At the end of the weekend, they come back, pull it into their house, you know, go on with their Sunday night, getting ready for Monday.
That's really the flexibility that this offers that a Cessna 182 or 172 just can't even touch. I mean, there's a whole nother dimension operating this airplane can really play into it. I mean, I'm sure, you know, it's just got to be gorgeous out in the Bahamas and down in the Keys and those sorts of places.
When people ask me, what can you do? I describe a flight where I left Miami with a client. And we, you know, took a right hook and we hit Key Largo, and, you know, I brought the aircraft about 50 feet, very stable. I wasn't doing anything dynamic. I wasn't doing air show maneuvers. I hit 50 feet. The windows were out. We were playing Spotify. We're looking at the beautiful coral reef. And as we're flying over one of the sandbars, there was a boat party, maybe 30 boats. And he said, can we go like into a boat party like that? And I said, sure. I circled around, landed the aircraft, taxied up to, you know, the 30 boats. Everyone's outside their boat, you know, standing on the sandbar with their hands to their, you know, spread to their side. Like, what is this thing? And we, you know, we docked we anchored the aircraft, spent, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours out there. Everyone's asking questions. They're jumping in the aircraft. Then we took off and finished up at Key West International for dinner and a couple of drinks that night. So, you know, but that is a very small flight. It didn't take long, but it showed that you literally can live multiple things in one day, from water sports to flying to, you know, to travel, you name it.
That's awesome. So what is the training process like? Let's say you don't have any experience with seaplanes, but you've been flying for a long time, or even if you're just getting started, what does that look like for pilots who want to be involved?
Yeah. So if you're a pilot with a private pilot license and never been in a seaplane or gained your seaplane certificate, you would come to ICON, and it's typically a 4-day course. Obviously, weather, Mother Nature plays, but if everything goes well, it's a 4-day course where we do 3 or 4 hours of ground school and we do 6 flights. Most of the time is spent with people who are already have a pilot license on the water and assessing the water conditions and how the aircraft operates and, certainly emergency functions and things like that. If you've already obtained your seaplane rating, it's a 2-day course. It's simply a refresher ground school on principles of operating on the water with an aircraft, and then 3 flights. That's really difference training. It's how you and I would equate it, being pilots. I would call it difference training, and then they're out the door. Now, if you've never been a pilot, you obtain your 4-pilot license. And that is really driven by people's availability. We've had people do it in as little as 2.5 weeks that have just come down to Tampa, and that's all they did is dedicate their time to it. If you're balancing multiple priorities of personal and professional, it could take 2 or 3 months based on just what you're available to spend.
I know the Tampa training facility is the one that I'm most familiar with, but you are also in Vacaville, but I see that there's a lot of other training facilities and locations popping up as well.
We do. We currently, as we stand right now, we have a flight training center. And by the way, these are all third-party flight training centers that we have trained and certified, and they're recognized on our website and by our underwriters. But it's individuals doing this in a private fashion. We have one in South Carolina. We have one up in Traverse City, Michigan, Seattle. And then we're just on the precipice of opening one up in the south of Boston, New England area. But I think of something of interest, and I'm sure we'll dive into it, is we have a network of ICON authorized flight instructors throughout the U.S. that our clients, customers can reach out and rely on for initial training or recurrency training.
So obviously buying an airplane is a huge commitment no matter what you're getting. If you're not quite ready to buy one outright, sounds like the certified instructor program or maybe something else is a good way to kind of get involved.
Oh yeah, if you're already a certified flight instructor, absolutely. And we're always looking to expand that network, because as our customer base grows, the infrastructure to support those customers, both in our maintenance service centers that we have partnered with, and I believe, and I should know this, but the number is somewhere just under 50. I want to say it's 48 or 49. And then our flight instructors, and that's all independent. So, once we train someone to be an ICON authorized flight instructor, they're recognized on our website. Any new client gets the list of who's available. And then that's really a one-on-one relationship between the ICON authorized flight instructor and the client based on availability and cost and everything else. And we support, we're always here to support, but we kind of stand back and let that relationship take its course.
And the Pilot Network has almost 30,000 member pilots that I'm sure a large percentage of them will be interested in getting involved part-time or full-time or just instructing or something like that. Do you have any opportunities for airline pilot or a military guy, a gal who has a little bit of time on their hands that wants to kind of learn to fly the ICON or be involved?
Oh, certainly. I would. And again, I really wish I would have gone and looked at our percentages, but a large portion of our ICON authorized flight instructors fall into 2 categories. Obviously, a lot of prior military folks, but commercial airline pilots who, have some work flexibility. And for them, certainly it's a way to make some extra money. But, I'm thinking of a couple I know that are really utilized heavy. I think for them, they really enjoy the aircraft and they like taking, going to places with our clients and showing them, what they can do and how they can do it. So they're teaching the clients, they're making a little bit of flexible income, which is great. But I think a lot of it is they really enjoy it. And so for them, it's like, of course I will. Like, why wouldn't I want to go to, this new region I've never flown at and show a customer how to do it and make sure they're operating? Because as pilots, we want everyone to operate safely, and be comfortable in their aircraft. So I'm doing that and I'm having a blast at the same time.
Absolutely. Well, Warren, thanks so much for being on the show. As we wind up here, I know your time is extremely valuable, and I just appreciate you taking some time out of your day to speak with me and just kind of introduce ICON to our members, and hopefully someone hears something that's interesting and can get involved. So what's the best way if someone is interested and wants to reach out and get in touch with you guys for questions, feedback, or even to see about being an instructor?
Yeah. The most simple and the best place to go is simply to our website, www.iconaircraft.com. Navigate to the contact us page and simply enter, you know, what your contact information and what you're looking for, and we'll get back to you within 24 hours. Or you can email us directly at support@iconaircraft.com. And we'd love to hear it, whether it's you're interested in maybe joining our network, interested in, you know, maybe become an owner, or just, you know, if you want to comment and give us feedback. You know, one really positive thing on Icon is, you know, I'm always looking for constructive feedback. We want to be an organization that improves every day, and I'm never going to do that if I don't get the feedback from either owners or people in the community that want to tell us how we can do things better.
Well, one thing's for sure is with this many pilots, we're bound to have an opinion somewhere. So hopefully anyone can reach out, and we'll make sure that contact information is in our show notes. So as always, if you want to get a hold of Adam or myself, you can email us at heyguys@thepilotnetwork.org, or you can contact us through any other parts of the TPN ecosystem. We always love to hear from you and want to know what you want to hear on the show and in the TPNQ magazine. Until next time, keep the shiny side up, keep the dirty side down, and fly safe out there.